This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute, you're listening to another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
The best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Yes! Yes!
Woo!
Yes!
Woo!
What?
Yes!
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Raw is Jericho!
What you gonna do when Hulkamania destroys you?
What's up with that?
For the benefit of those with flash photography,
would you please shut the hell up?
If you're not done with that, we got two words for ya!
Was what was best for business. We the people!
I'm the best in the world.
The kid who digs that sucker!
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Have a nice day!
And the champ is here!
With your host, Steve Credo and Jonathan Benjamin.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's time for another wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Benjamin, and with me, as always,
I'm the other host, Steve Credo.
We would love to welcome you to the year 2015.
Future.
I actually hope that we're the first people that wish you a Happy New Year. So if we are, kudos. Tweet us out that we were absolutely the first people to tell you Happy New Year. We have a great show for our first show of 2015.
Are you sure it's going to be great? Because all the shows in 2014, you promised that they were the best show.
No, I know. I feel bad about that because today is our best show that we've ever done.
Okay, that's good enough for me.
Okay. It's winter, but it doesn't really feel like winter out there.
Yeah.
There's no snow really for us, right?
Yeah, no snow. A little cool out, but it doesn't feel like winter. It doesn't. It's a little different this year.
Yeah, I would say that we're missing a big storm.
A storm. A Lance storm, if you will.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, in the AWP studios today, none other than Lance Storm.
And we will be serious for a moment because Lance Storm is going to be in the house, guys. What better way to kick off your new year than with Lance Storm? We got a lot of good questions for him, and he's going to have a lot of good answers, so make sure you stay tuned for that one. But, wow, it's a new year, Jonathan. New things are happening. What are we going to do on the first day of the new year?
Well, I'm right now, you're asking me what I'm doing. I'm eating a Terry's chocolate orange. Terry's, if you're listening.
They're not even sponsoring us right now.
No, but if you're listening to another wrestling podcast, Terry's, I'm speaking directly at you. I cannot think of another snack that I love more to enjoy when I'm listening to another wrestling podcast than a Terry's chocolate orange. Send me boxes full of them, and I will talk about Terry's an entire podcast episode.
As you guys can see, it's a new year, and we're going to find new ways to make money. Sponsors! And if you want to be a sponsor, head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com, shoot us an email, and hey, we'll say your product on the air. But right
now, I'm talking to you, Terry's.
I was going to say, John, right now, Terry's isn't really a sponsor, so I guess anything in front of us that we like, I guess we can shout out the name, and hopefully they're listening to Another Wrestling Podcast, and maybe one day we'll get sponsored by Terry's Chocolate Oranges.
Oh my God, they're so good.
Anyway, wow, it's a new year. It's a new day for you guys out there. Maybe you're sleeping in. Maybe you're just driving to the gym. Huh? or I don't know, you're doing something, but you're listening to the show because Lance Storm's going to be on. But Jonathan, you know, we talked a lot about wrestling in 2014. We talked a lot about wrestlers in 2014, but now it's 2015. Let's talk a little bit about something else in pro wrestling. You know, if you could take a time machine, let's say if you had a DeLorean and went to the year 2015, not saying that that has to do anything to do with Back to the Future to where he goes to 2015, but since we are in 2015 right now, the future, could you imagine a world without Canadians in the world of pro wrestling? Could you imagine that?
That's very interesting query that you just posed there for 2015. No Canada. Okay, so let me get this straight.
Now I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking over there. But for everybody listening at home, you're like, what does this mean? Why do I care? Guys, we have a list of wrestlers who are Canadian. We're going to talk about the Canadian effect in pro wrestling. And you guys have no idea how many wrestlers that we grew up watching and loved are Canadian. You have no idea. If we took away Canada for a little bit, you know, just push them to the side. They never existed. Where would we be in pro wrestling, Jonathan? Let's talk about the Canadian effect right now.
Okay. Well, I think that what I want to do just to kind of show you guys that you may think you know. Of course, everyone's going to say the first one they're going to pop up is Bret Hart. Okay. But right now, here and now, I'm going to quiz you, Credo.
You're going to quiz me about the Hart family?
No, not about the Hart family. I'm going to give you three names.
Okay.
And you have to tell me what wrestler is from Canada. From the three that I give you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Flash Funk. Okay?
Okay.
Tatanka. And Roddy Piper. Out of those three, what one of those gentlemen are native Canadians?
So we have a pimp, kinda. We have a Native American, Tatanka. That could be a trick. Maybe he wasn't really Native American. Or Roddy Piper. I don't know. I mean, the obvious choice would probably be... Well, there is no obvious choice because you're giving me three totally different guys that you don't think are Canadian. I'm just going to say Roddy Piper, maybe.
You are absolutely correct. It is Roddy Piper. Now, that to me was shocking because I know a lot of people have... Like, they associate him with Scotland and because of the bagpipes and the kilt and stuff. But he was born in Canada. So, wow. To your point, if there was no Canada, there would be no Roddy Piper.
Wow, that's a big one. I mean, I guess I didn't really think about that. That's odd. I guess all right, well, let's talk about somebody else, like a big name. Give me a big name who is Canadian that, you know, if we take them away, it could take a whole hunk or chunk or whatever else you want to rhyme with out of the history of pro wrestling if we took this guy away or girl away or whoever.
How about Chris Jericho?
Another Canadian. You take him away, baby, and you have no undisputed heavyweight champion. You have no Y2J. You don't even have Rufus. Y2J, or no, not
Ralphus.
Oh my gosh.
Ralphus, if you're listening, I apologize for this guy calling you Rufus. Who the hell's Rufus?
I was watching Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and
oh my god.
It just sounded right, so I said it. So that was it was close. It was both with an R. Ralphus, yeah. Rufus. It's his brother.
All right, Sean.
Anyway, back to the point. You take away Chris Jericho and you take a big chunk of history out of the book, and that's a big part of Canada. Or a big part of the wrestling, you know, industry.
Is there any who? I'll just ask this: who's your favorite? I'm taking away Bret Hart because that's going to be. It's going to be, oh, Bret Hart. Who's your favorite Canadian wrestler?
Anytime, any decade. Yeah. Favorite Canadian wrestler?
Other than Bret Hart.
I'm going to have to go with Owen Hart. On. Hey, I mean, come on. I was trying to think of a long list of Canadians, and I just went to the lineage of the Hart family, so Owen Hart.
Okay, all right.
That wasn't really as entertaining as you thought it would be, was it?
It was very anticlimactic, but that's all right. That's all right. We'll just keep chugging along here. I think that everybody knows that there's been tons of male wrestlers that are from Canada, whether making their home there or actually being born there. But I'd like to get into the ladies a little bit. And there's been quite a few that have made a huge impact on professional wrestling as a whole. Do you happen to know one that isn't a Hart, maybe, that you could that you'd like to talk about?
I was going to say Diana Hart Smith, but I know you told me to take that away. I think I know, from what I remember, I know Angelina Love is a Canadian, right?
Yes.
I know a lot of the, well, not a lot, I mean, a few of the TNA knockouts over there are Canadian, and I just remember Angelina Love was a Canadian, so you take her away. Goodbye, goodbye, beautiful people.
Yeah, I mean, there goes most of TNA's roster at one point, female roster. You had Gail Kim and also Tracy Brooks, who are Canadian.
Gail Kim was Canadian? I didn't know that.
Yes, she is.
Wow. Well, now I know.
That, yeah, if you didn't, you do now.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's just some of these names you think of. You said Rowdy Piper, now Gail Kim. I didn't know they were Canadian. That's it's a newer one in my book.
Yeah, I think that one of the greatest things about this is that whenever you had Bret, he was a very proud Canadian. He was the whole Hart family would wave the flag, and it was always a big deal. A couple people that, you know, obviously are Canadian that didn't make a huge deal about it, but, you know, they were – every now and then you would get subtle hints about it is, like, Edge and Christian, obviously. They just hosted Raw and all that, but, you know, they would always say things like a boot or, you know, a – and then sometimes, like, when they – there was a whole angle whenever they were trying to – they bet each other who would sleep with Lita or Trish first. They said, I'll bet you $1 Canadian. So, you know, it was great. And they're very, very big names of professional wrestling that without Canada, we wouldn't have.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we talked – well, you mentioned, you know, some names of, you know, their characters and – you said Rowdy Piper before, and you don't associate him with Canada at all every time you see him or say his name. Let's just talk about a few other guys, you know, past and present and now and then, whatever. I'll say their name, and they're Canadian. And I want you to tell me, did you know that they were Canadian or not? Or no? I mean, are you surprised that they're Canadian, maybe? I don't know. Are you surprised? I want you to tell me if you're surprised.
Yes.
First one. Santino Marella.
What?
That's right.
He's from Italy.
So they led you to believe, Jonathan, that he is from Canada. Jinder Mahal, Canadian.
Is unbelievable.
Is your mind blown already?
Yeah, it's already like it's unbelievable. I'm going to have to do some fact checking because I don't know if I believe you.
How about Abdul the Butcher? He's Canadian.
That is not. I mean, it's crazy. He's crazy, and that's crazy. But that is I did not know that. That's crazy.
Yeah, those are just some names. I don't have a good game like you. You got the good games. I'm just saying, hey, he's Canadian. Are you surprised? That's my game. I mean, it's just funny, though, hearing some of these names because you think about it, and you're like, nope, didn't think he was from Canada. And, you know, a lot of these names that we've been saying, I mean, we could even just mention briefly and quickly. You got Steve Corino. You got Tyler Breeze in NXT. You know, you have Rick Martel, Frenchie Martin, but you didn't remember that guy. Lanny Poffo, Bobby Roode, Lance Storm, who's going to be on the show, Canadian. You know, there's a lot of history, a lot of guys in there. Val Venus, David Hart Smith, Natalya. You know, there's Canadians here and there. they're everywhere. I'm not putting it in a bad spotlight, but it's amazing to think that. I mean, I don't know if you want to put a percentage to Canada on how much they had, you know, a big effect in the world of pro wrestling, but it's a big percentage. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it's like a Canadian invasion. You know, like I said, you don't realize it because not everybody shoves it in your face. Like, a lot of the people, maybe they did say, from Canada, this person. But over time, you know, it just kind of – like, for me, Trish Stratus, she's definitely Canadian. She was a very proud Canadian. She would come out with the maple leaf on her gear and stuff like that. But, like, in my mind, I never really thought of her as – being from Canada, you know what I mean?
That's right.
And today you mentioned Tyler Breeze and NXT, two really cool NXT performers right now, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, both from Canada.
Yeah, it's amazing because, like, you don't really think about this sometimes. I mean, you're like, you watch them on TV, they tell you where they're from on TV, and that's where you go with it. But, I mean, when you think about it, like I said in the beginning, you know, you take away Canada, you take away a big history, big part of history in the professional wrestling world. And, you know, we have to salute Canada. We have to pay our respects to Canada for producing some of the biggest names in the pro wrestling industry. It's just amazing to think about. It's one of those things, guys and gals listening out there, that, you know, hey, you're listening to it and you just don't realize, you know, the names that have come from Canada. I know we're not going to really do a show on Turkey or Saudi Arabia or wherever. I mean, we're doing it for Canada because, you know, they have been such a big part in the wrestling industry that we have to pay our respects, if you will, right?
Yeah, I think one of my favorite things is that whenever they ever go to Canada, Jerry Lawler is quick to say, this is Bizarro World. And I think that you just see that people in Canada, they may not be as cynical about professional wrestling as the United States. And so maybe they like somebody that the, you know, United States doesn't like, or they cheer for something that would normally get booed or whatever. But I think it's cool whenever they go anywhere that's not the United States, just because we get them so much that we take it for granted. They get them, you know, so little that they really enjoy every moment of it. So for that part, I really enjoy Canadian pro wrestling fans.
You had to think about that because you were going to say Canada pro wrestling fans.
I was.
Pro wrestling fans. That's right. And I mean, there's other little niches in Canada that we don't really talk about every day, but I mean, you can go back to yesterday or yesteryear. You know, you had Stampede Wrestling, where many stars wrestled there, and then they came from. You know, you had such names as the Honky Tonk Man, Bad News Brown, Dynamite Kid, Junkyard Dog, who all got their start over in Stampede Wrestling before, you know, going on to other territories. I'm not saying they're Canadian, but I mean, you know, they played a big part in these guys' careers. Stampede Wrestling was a big part in a lot of guys' careers. What are your thoughts on Stampede Wrestling? Do you know much about it? I mean, I just remember it from Bret Hart's book and documentary and all that stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I think that Stampede was like a really cool wrestling promotion, and it even paired up. They had what they called Stampede Days, which was like a big fair, and they always would wrestle and put on shows there. But I remember a lot of people coming through there. Andre the Giant was there a few times. And I do remember watching a lot of Stampede Wrestling on some of the Hart Family DVDs, and it was cool to see because they were really into it. And even though Stu Hart ran it and the Hart brothers were all like top draws, like you said, a lot of big names came out of it. So you could see that it wasn't just like Stu was being selfish. I'm going to have my family be in there. It's similar to the, like the Von Erichs down in Texas, because Fritz ran that promotion, but a lot of big names came out of that. So yeah, I mean, without Stampede Wrestling, we wouldn't have the Honky Tonk Man, and how would we even continue without the Honky Tonk Man?
Well, you said it, Jonathan. I mean, we talked a little bit about Canadian wrestling, Canadians who are wrestlers. I mean, it's just one of those things we wanted to bring up on the show today, because it's like you don't really think about it every day. And then we kind of want to throw it into your head that, you know, if you just recognize that a lot of the guys that you loved or see today are Canadian. And I mean, I know we're making this into a bigger deal than maybe what it should be, but it's still, it's one of those fun fact shows, I guess, if you will. that it's like, hey, did you know? And you're probably out there listening, you did not know, because I know I certainly did not know that Rowdy Piper was born in Canada. I certainly did not know that Abdul the Butcher was from Canada. Jinder Mahal, Santino Marella, you know, all these other names. It's what you say, it's that Canadian effect in pro wrestling. Take away Canada, and you lose, like, a good amount of history with it, too.
Yeah. Here's one for you.
One for me.
Yeah. We've been talking about just the wrestlers and, you know, like, the, you know, type of wrestling that was up there, Stampede Wrestling and stuff, but I'm going to ask you, like, what do you think the most famous event that happened in Canada?
How dare you bring this up on the show?
That had to do with pro wrestling.
I know where you're going, and I know you what you want me to say. It's the Chris Benoit show. Thou shalt not name this show ever again on our show. The Montreal Screwjob, obviously, Jonathan.
Absolutely.
And Survivor Series. You know, it certainly put Montreal on the map. in the pro wrestling little map of places that big things happened. I don't know. I don't have a good name for it, so that's all I got for you. But yeah, I mean, nobody else talks about Montreal in pro wrestling unless you say the Montreal Screwjob. I don't know. It has its place in the history books.
I have a great game that I want all of us to play. So after this airs, I want you to all get on Twitter and do this. I want, because now it's only known as the Montreal Screwjob. Everybody says that, everybody. But for one moment, think about what would have happened if it wasn't in Montreal. So this is hashtag Screwjob City. So if you live in Piedmont, North Dakota, and you're listening to this tonight, I want you to type in hashtag Piedmont Screwjob, okay?
Yeah.
And I want to see how far we can go with this. I want all of you to tweet us at A Wrestling Pod with the name of the city that you live in, hashtag that city Screwjob.
Wow. That should be interesting to see some of the towns we get out of it. That'd be a nice, fun social media game for the social media kids out there. Yeah, do it up. And as long as we don't mention the Montreal Screwjob anymore, Jonathan, I think we'll all be happy.
I think that's my New Year's resolution, is to mention it once a show for the rest of all of our shows.
The day I get Bret Hart in here, in the studios, I'm going to have to control your mic and just have to mute you, because if you dare mention that to Bret Hart as he is in our studio... I'm going to have a panic attack. I'm having a panic attack right now because you're mentioning.
I'll be doing some talking because you're just going to be like out of breath because you're going to be talking to your idol.
Hey, Brett, what's your favorite match?
Hey, Brett, you remember when you wrestled Shawn Michaels? That was really cool, wasn't it? That's what it's going to be.
How dare you? How dare you? I want to ask about his leather jackets. I'll think of some other questions, but. You might have to help me out with some of these questions because, damn it. Well, one day I'll have Bret Hart on here, but there will be no questions about the screw job, the event that thou shall not be talked about ever.
Well, okay.
Whatever. Anyway, guys, I mean, we had some fun about Canada, Canadians in wrestling. Like I said, it's one of those things. You just don't think about it, and you take away Canada, you take away a lot of the history of pro wrestling. But anyway, if we could be serious for one moment, we have none other than Lance Storm joining us in the studio right now. Lance, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, Lance, Storm Wrestling Academy, you've had a highly successful career outside of the ring, training tomorrow's superstars. How does it feel to see your students succeed today?
It's really cool. With the wrestling business the way it is, though, I don't judge everything on how successful they are, because it's such a crapshoot. I'm proud of the kids that do well, even if they don't end up achieving television recognition, if we will. But it's nice to see the success of those that have made it to television in different places. But there's a lot of students that have done really well that, you know, haven't gotten that break yet that I'm just as proud of.
Who do you consider your greatest graduate to date?
Probably the most recognizable to date would be Emma, just that she's been on Raw and SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Taya Valkyrie in Mexico is, you know, the AAA Women's Champion right now. So she's working in a national televised promotion and is the champion. So you could argue that she's had more success. But again, I think a lot of people associate greater success with WWE. So those two would be the most notable so far, I guess.
All right. Is there one thing that maybe seems to shock your students after their first session or the first class? Is there anything that they come out of and they didn't really, didn't think was going to happen going into it?
I think the vast majority of people don't realize how difficult the job is. Mm-hmm. I don't think people realize how detailed it is. Like, it really, when you get down to it, you know, you have to have every foot, every inch, every knee, every hand in the right spot, or, you know, the chance of injury is so much greater. Even just running the ropes, which is something that most people think, oh, they just run ropes. But it's like, if you don't get your footwork right, it's hard. And some guys take, you know, a while to get it down. The job's a lot harder than a lot of people think.
You broke into the business a while back. You trained with the Harts. What is it that you were taught during your training that you would never ask your students to do?
I don't know if I would say with what I was training, but back in the day, they used to legitimately just beat the hell out of people. Mm. To make sure they were tough enough, for lack of a different term. But you can't really get away with that anymore. And it's not as needed, in that, you know, back in the day, I always love that expression, when you were trying to protect the wrestling business, you didn't want to smarten people up unless you thought they were actually going to succeed at it. So the idea was that you did legitimately beat the hell out of people for weeks, hoping that the majority of them would quit. And then the one or two that were tough enough to keep coming back and keep coming back, that you realized, you know, that they had, you know, the potential of making it, those would be the ones that you would then smarten up and welcome into the industry. And you wanted to send the vast majority of people away going, wow, I thought that was fake, but, you know, it was just brutal. It beat me to death, because it helped the industry. Mm-hmm. That, you know, they would then talk to their friends and other fans and go, wow, I thought wrestling was fake, but it's not. But in today's environment, you know, no one's trying to fool anybody. So that's not a part of it. And also, too, with back in the day, you'll hear me say that a lot. when the AWA was a territory and Stampede Wrestling was a territory, Stampede Wrestling was the business. So training people wasn't the business. It wasn't how you made your money. So the main goal was protecting the business, and beating people up and sending them on their way helped your core business. And if there was a couple people that lasted, that you brought to shows and you brought in, that's great. But obviously today, when, you know, territories aren't the business, there's some wrestling schools that are the business. If I beat up, you know, 100% of my students and 80% of them quit, word of mouth would get around that, well, if you go to the Lance Storm School, he just beats the hell out of you, don't learn anything, and you quit and go home.
Yeah.
Then your core business dies. So that was probably the biggest difference between, you know, 25 plus years ago and today. The sad thing is, I think there's a benefit to getting the hell beat out of you. just that it's one of the common criticisms you hear, if you go to WWE tryouts, you hear feedback when people work. The criticism, a lot of people, it's like, you look like you're playing wrestler, not being wrestler. And when it's always been, and I don't like using this word, but it's the one that just works the best, when it's always been fake to you, and you've never actually been in the ring with somebody that you thought was legitimately going to beat the hell out of you, mm-hmm. you have a tendency to look like you're pretending to fight. But when you've broken in by getting beat up and you've carried yourself in a match because the guy might beat you up, you do carry yourself differently. So it's a shame that you can't, as silly as it sounds, you can't just beat the hell out of people.
Sure.
But, you know, obviously you have a business to think of and lawsuits to think of and liability issues to think of. But I think getting beat up in the ring, or at least having the threat of getting beat up in the ring, makes you a better wrestler. And even just when I first broke in, there was several matches where, you know, I'd go to the ring with people that I didn't know and haven't spoke to and wasn't entirely sure they weren't going to beat me up, or at least make that effort. And I think that changes your perspective in the ring, and it's a something that's missing, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're pretty outspoken about the state of pro wrestling today and stuff. What are your thoughts on NXT, maybe, in general? Because this is something that, you know, they didn't really have when you were coming along, you know. What are your thoughts about how, you know, they have, like, their own, I guess, farm system, if you will, now, attached to the WWE in a way that, you know, you guys didn't really were a part of?
No, and I think the, as do most people, I would imagine, even WWE, you know, the territory system was a better learning process, but it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
And I think NXT is, I don't want to say a necessary evil, because I think that puts it in a worse light than it should be, because I think NXT is great, and I love the NXT product, but there's a lot of people that don't get television experience, because, you know, there's very few places to get legitimate TV experience, and to be good in WWE, you've got to be able to work television. So NXT is needed, even if, you know, there's a lot of guys that are tremendous, fantastic wrestlers, workers, whatever you prefer to call them, and a lot of people are like, oh, he should just go right to the main roster. It's like, well, do they even have television experience? Mm-hmm. You know, do they know how to hit a time cue? Do they know how to do a lot of the things that are associated with television? So NXT provides that. So it's a good learning system. It's not as good as being able to headline other territories and work television and main event other territories. But without that as a viable option, I think NXT is the next best thing. There's some pitfalls to everybody going through the same system, but I don't see a better alternative. And I think you know, that NXT Our Revolution show that was just on last week shows that it can be quite successful, because that was a tremendous wrestling program.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Everybody was talking about it. Speaking of that, too, briefly, I mean, you have new talents coming in, such as Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Finn Balor, Hideo Itami, to name a few. Is there anything you think WWE could do to make sure that when they bring up new talents that maybe they don't lose the momentum that they have in NXT? Do you think it's, or do you think there's anything that, you know, in your opinion, that, you know, by bringing these guys up onto the main shows that, you know, because I've seen some of them come and go already, that, you know, they were pretty big in NXT, that when they made it to Raw, they weren't having that quite as the same kind of impact that they were?
I think the biggest thing is they have to assume they don't have a momentum.
Mm-hmm.
I think they made that mistake with Emma. I think NXT had endorsed Emma. They liked her wacky dance. They really liked her. And they made the mistake of thinking that Emma and that dance and the thing she was doing is just something that's over and will be over. And they brought her up assuming it would translate. And I think they didn't realize that Emma evolved in NXT, and without that growth and that history, being thrown out the main roster, it didn't translate the same. And I think Bayley in NXT would be very similar. If they just bring her up and think she's going to be as over on Raw as she is in NXT, we'll just continue that momentum, I think she will do very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have to assume that the vast majority of the Raw audience hasn't watched NXT, and make sure that they do the same steps that they did in NXT to get them where they were. Because Emma was a bit more, she was supposed to be a clumsy person, for I don't know why that would be a gimmick that would get somebody over, but she was the awkward, clumsy person.
Mm-hmm.
And the wacky dance thing wasn't supposed to be a dance gimmick. It was her sort of doing, from my understanding, you know, sort of the Elaine dance from Seinfeld.
Sure.
She's trying to dance, but she's really bad.
Yeah.
But she ended up endearing herself to the crowd, and they started liking her, so they endorsed the dance. And then I think the WWE just sort of went, wow, her dance gimmick's over, let's bring her on TV and have her dance. And it's like, if you just see this dance for the very first time, you're going to go, my God, this girl's a bad dancer.
Yeah.
And not have made the steps and the journey with her that they, you know, became liking her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, with Sami Zayn, who is extremely over in NXT, an extremely talented guy, if they just bring him up and think, okay, he's good to go, he's set, let's just introduce him without an actual proper introduction and a build, I don't think you can just bring Sami Zayn in and go, hey, we're just going to introduce him, he's going to be a top-level guy, an upper-middle-level guy, whatever you think, and then just send him out there and have him competing with the main roster. I think you need to develop and grow and let people attach themselves to Sami Zayn, because Sami Zayn is just, he's a really likable, endearing guy. And if you don't let us figure out that he's a really nice guy and start liking him and get behind him and back him first, and he just goes out there and has matches and wins some of them and loses some of them, then it's just, well, he's a guy that's winning some matches and losing some matches. But I think if we can emotionally attach ourselves before he gets into any real programs, then I think he has a chance at real success. And so I think they need to see what they did in NXT, see what worked, and don't just take the end result, but actually recreate those steps.
Sure.
Not identically, obviously. You don't want to have the exact same program with the same people.
Yeah.
But realize that you need those same steps. And it's similar to, you know, with Kevin Owen on NXT. It's like he debuted as a babyface in Seg 2, and he turned heel in the main event.
Yeah.
But I think that transition was important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that, you know, Jericho has always said, and I agree with him completely. And again, I don't know if he said it publicly or not, but he talks about it's really hard to just debut as a babyface. But if you debut as a heel and let people get to know you and then have those steps and transitions to transition yourself as a babyface, then there's a reason for people to start liking you. But when you just... music hits and comes through the curtain, and you're just supposed to be likable. You know, you're just, your music hits, you go through the curtain, it's like, oh, slap hands, make people like you. It's like, well, why do they like me? They don't even know who I am yet.
Yeah.
But if you can debut as a heel, because you've got the luxury of some cheap heat, and also, too, if you come through as a heel and you don't get a reaction, it's like, well, you can just sort of, you people don't know, you're dumb. But, so if you can come out as a heel, and then your first program, or your second, third, whatever it might be, starts having a story and a reason why you then, you know, back or befriend or join someone, or, you know, your heel partner betrays you even further, then there's a reason for us to like you. But if you just come out there as a babyface, it's hard. And similarly, if you're just supposed to come out there and it's always just a top babyface, it's like, well, why? Where, again, Sami Zayn, I think, could start at the absolute bottom of the roster as a likable guy, and it's like, just send him out there and let him have great matches and be likable. Obviously, don't beat him. You don't want to beat him every night. That doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, let him start top, because the whole point of why Sami Zayn got so big by that last big show was we got into the journey. We wanted to see him succeed, and we saw him try real hard and fail and try real hard. He was the little engine that could. And... you know, we had to think he can for a long period of time so that when he got there, it was just so rewarding. And I think that's important, to make sure you get all those initial steps when you transfer people up from NXT.
Dolph Ziggler was one of your students. Throughout his WWE career, we have seen him have some highlights and a lot of low points. He's just starting to pick up steam after winning the Intercontinental Championship at TLC. Do you think he should be in the WWE Championship picture in 2015?
I don't like using those terms, because then I think you get into that problem that if he's not the champion or the guy challenging for him, then everyone thinks it's a failure. And it's like, well, that's only two spots. And you can't be in those two spots forever, unless you are the number one guy. I think he should be a top featured guy that is always in a significant program. I think he's a guy that should always be featured highly on the cards, and I think he's a guy that should be winning far more than he should be losing. I think he should be a top-tier guy. I don't like to say should he be in the title picture, because that's a very small window, and that there's certainly times he should be in it, But as long as he's in that top tier, I think that's where he belongs.
Or how do you feel about Brock Lesnar, for example, coming back and doing limited dates? Do you think that's hurting the product by not having your champion on TV all the time?
No, I don't think so. The one thing I would do differently, though, is I would be constantly mentioning him. Mm-hmm. I think when there is no reference whatsoever for a month to 8 weeks of your heavyweight champion, me as someone who still likes to maintain at least the illusion of sport in my sports entertainment, I start wondering why we're all here. But at least if you do have, and they have done it occasionally, like they did do the match where John Cena would get a number one contendership and where he'd lose his number one contendership. But I think there should be a constant reminder that the world heavyweight champion is Brock Lesnar. And the majority of these guys featured on this show every week are fighting for a shot at Brock Lesnar. Much like, and again, it's due to an injury in this case, much like Cain Velasquez is the, you know, UFC heavyweight champion. I don't see him on every UFC show, but, you know, there still should be a reference. There still should be something so that we remember that, you know, Johnny Jones is the light heavyweight champ and Cain Velasquez is the heavyweight champ. Actually, I think they have an interim champ now. But I think you need to remind us that Brock Lesnar is the king of the castle. More often than they do, and really build up to, you know, working to who is going to be that champion. I would like to see him more often than they have him, but again, they're obviously bound contractually on how often they can have him. But sure. I think having a heavyweight champion that is a little more rare than everybody else does make those appearances he does make more special. But I think we should continually remind us, whether it be with video packages or Paul Heyman, that this monster exists. And when someone has managed to separate himself head and shoulders above the rest here on Raw, that person will be facing the conqueror Brock Lesnar.
Who is someone on the WWE roster right now that you wish they would be using better or differently?
Well, again, I'm fairly nitpicky when it comes to the current booking of the product. I think everybody could be used better. You know, I'm a big fan of Dean Ambrose. You know, he's been featured and used well, but again, I just find Dean Ambrose is one of the more unique and refreshing people they have. You know, it's been a bad few months. You know, with mm-hmm. Roman Reigns being out hurt, mm-hmm. Randy, I don't know if he's out doing a movie or whether he's hurt. You know, Daniel Bryan is still out hurt. Even, again, much like the Brock Lesnar situation, it's like, I'd really like to be reminded that Daniel Bryan exists.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like, he was, especially because in storyline, he was put out in an angle with, you know, Kane did the tombstones of him. He managed to come back for one match, but then, you know, they said that it was the aggravation of the injury of that, and he's had to have the title stripped. And it's, and then you just don't mention him for 4 months. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, couldn't we at least get a monthly medical update? I know they don't know for sure when he's coming back, but it's like,
yeah,
how was that? You know what I mean? You know, show a piece of him still trying to do rehab, going to, you know, do something, just so that, if nothing else, it keeps me interested, and also, too, it keeps up my hopes, so if I do find that the current product is lacking, I could be updated knowing that, wow, you know, they still have Brock Lesnar hanging out there. It's like, you know, that's going to be an epic fight at some point. It's like, man, you know, Daniel Bryan is, man, I hope he managed to get clear in the next few months. I really hope he's getting back. It just keeps up my interest. And for someone who was as amazingly over as he was when he was here, and I know it was, again, I'm not a sports guy. I don't know if it was football or baseball or, you know, one of the last world champions of something, you know, he was there in the parade celebrating with them, and they were doing the yes chant. I don't know if it was the Seahawks or whether it was a baseball team. Actually, I think it was baseball. Whatever it was, it's like, you know, could we not get clips of that and remind us that, you know, this Daniel Bryan guy's, you know, mainstream, popular, and a big deal? Just things like that, I think, would benefit. You know, and I think, again, I think Ziggler could be used better. I think a lot of people could be.
All right. Yeah. Now, who do you feel is the best wrestler today, maybe not signed by a major wrestling promotion? Is there somebody out there now that you have your eye on that, you know, why isn't he signed or she signed or whatnot?
I never pick those, primarily because regardless of whether it's out there or in WWE, it's like I don't think there is such a thing as a best wrestler. I think there's so many elements to what is good, and also, too, that wrestling is a degree of an art form that, you know, it depends on what you like. You know, I'm a big fan of Mike Bennett. I think he offers a lot. But, again, it's a certain style and a flavor. It's one I think is fantastic, but who's to say that someone else doesn't like, you know, again, you know, Chris Hero's out there, too. They like him better. Or, you know, someone else that might think the Young Bucks are the greatest things in sliced bread. It's like, and who's to say one's right or one's wrong? Again, I'm a big fan of Chris Hero. I'm a big fan of Mike Bennett, so.
All right.
What are your thoughts on TNA getting a new TV deal? Do you think they're still able to be a force in today's world of pro wrestling?
I think there's people that would argue whether they were or weren't to this point. I have no idea. I obviously don't know the scope of Destination America. I know for a fact they're not going to have television in Canada, so I won't be able to watch it even if I wanted to. Perhaps if they also put it on a Destination America website that isn't region-specific, I'd be able to watch it. Actually, I use the thing I use for the network, Unblock Us, would probably work for that too, so I'd be able to catch it if it's on the website. But, you know, Destination America is not in Canada. I have no idea if it's a channel most people get or watch. So it's really hard to say. I hope it manages to survive. I've never been one that thinks, and I think that's always been their mistake and fans' mistake, is this foolish desire to, they need to compete with WWE. It's like, no, they don't. They need to just compete with their own business model.
Yeah.
It's like, become a company that can make money and pay the talent a favorable wage, that the product's good, fans like it, and it's a successful business model. You know, if I was going to launch a hamburger joint, I wouldn't be, I need to compete with McDonald's. It's like, that's just idiotic. I need to come up with a burger that I can sell and I can make money. And I think that's what TNA should have always been trying to do from the start. And, you know, hopefully with Destination America, they can find a way to set that as their business model, that they can employ however many people, pay them a wage that they're happy with, and produce a product that enough fans enjoy that they're willing to pay for. Or, again, if Destination America is willing to pay them enough for their television that it can survive just as a television company. I hope they can succeed because, again, it's places for employment. But it's going to be incredibly hard for me to voice an opinion in the future because I'm not even going to be able to watch it.
Yeah. All right. Now, UFC has been a hot-button issue as of late, too, with CM Punk debuting in 2015. How do you think he will fare in the new landscape? Because, I mean, we've had guys like Ken Shamrock and, of course, right now Brock Lesnar, who's gone from UFC to WWE or WWE to the UFC. Do you think, you know, that's going to be a big problem for him? Or do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, again, it comes down to what's the goal. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it would be foolhardy if his goal is to, hey, I'm going to win a championship and be the, you know, the top guy in UFC at 185 or 170, whatever he decides to end up being his weight division. Because starting out in your mid-30s with no background, chances are by the time you got good enough, you're going to be too old. If his goal is to scratch it off as a bucket list thing, have one or two fights, use that experience to transition into a commentating role in UFC, it's like there's a strong possibility that could be a huge success for him. I have no idea what his skill level is, what his toughness level is. He's obviously not going to be a top-level competitive fighter anytime soon. I think thinking someone with no experience would be is just disrespectful to current fighters. But, you know, if they find a 0-0 fighter or a 1-0 fighter or an 0-1 fighter for him to fight, there's certainly the possibility that he could win it. I think he will be a success as far as drawing viewers. Because I know I'll watch it. I'd be curious to see how he does. But again, I don't. I think comparing it to Brock Lesnar, and it's like, you know, Brock Lesnar won the UFC heavyweight title in his, you know, third UFC fight or his fourth fight ever. obviously, I CM Punk's not doing that. I think people forget that Brock actually had a pro fight before he went to UFC, and obviously was a national champion in amateur wrestling and just a complete gigantic freak. Where Punk competing at 185, presumably, obviously going to be a completely more challenging route for him, especially with his lack of background. But I think he'll put his effort into it. I think he will draw viewers. And if his goal is to have one or two fights so he can say he did it, then, again, I think he's a better man than most that talk about it and never try it. So I respect his effort. And if he ends up walking into the cage and fighting, then he's a better man than most.
All right.
We're starting to wind down now. So you're a native Canadian. How does it feel to come from such a rich history of wrestling Canadians?
It's certainly nice to be included in it, but I don't know if, you know, it's necessarily any better than any other rich history. There's obviously a glut of great American wrestlers. There's a bunch of great English wrestlers. You know, you go back to, you know, Davey and Dynamite and, you know, William Regal and Chris Adams and, you know, Doug Williams and some of the other greats that have come out of England. I don't know if necessarily Canada is all that much ahead of any other nation. There's been some great Mexican wrestlers. So, it's nice and it's good to see it continuing. Obviously, there's, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Tyler Breeze in NXT is Canadian. Tyson Kidd and Natty, and so there's a bunch of them, and I hope it continues. It's nice to be included in a list with any of those names, let alone going back to the Bret Harts and the Rougeau family and Rick Martel and so many other ones. So it's great to be included. I guess I should include Edge and Christian in that group. Jericho is a half and half, but I suppose technically Bret's a half and a half too. In that he's got a dual citizenship, but it's certainly a great list of talent, and any time I'm included in it, I'm certainly flattered. But I don't know if necessarily, you know, Canada has produced a greater proportion of top talent than, you know, necessarily any other country. And it's obviously easier for us as Canadians to transition into the American market than it is for, you know, European talent. But obviously, especially with WWE now, they're, you know, big on getting international people. There's, you know, I'm thinking Prince Devitt, but I need Finn Balor, Finn Balor, and Adrian Neville, and Sheamus and Wade Barrett. There's so much international talent now that's tremendous. You know, Paige is another great English wrestler. So there's talent from all over the world.
Lightning round.
Who is your favorite tag team partner of all time?
Wow. I'll go with Christian. All of them were great, but some of the other ones got cut short for different reasons, so I will go with Christian. We had a lot of fun.
Which run in your career do you feel is your most successful?
I'll go with my run in war in Japan, in that it was probably the longest consistent one.
Now, as your in-ring career begins to wind down, is there someone who you would love to wrestle your last match against?
I've always said Jericho. We had our first. It'd be really cool if we had our last, even if we're just two, 60-year-old old guys going out there one last time to bookend both of our careers with the same match.
Who is the best technical wrestler of all time?
I don't know what technical wrestler means. I'll say Kurt Angle, just because technically he's probably the best wrestler.
Perfect.
I don't know if that counts as technical wrestler, but I'll go with it.
Lance, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us. But how can fans keep up with you these days, and how can they find out more about your school?
At Lance Storm on Twitter is the best way to keep track of what I'm doing. I update that probably more than I should. But the wrestling school, Storm Wrestling Academy, you can go to stormwrestling.com or stormwrestlingacademy.com. Either will take you to the same place. It'll give you all the information on the school. And again, at Lance Storm will keep you up to date on my daily activities.
Perfect. Lance, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
No problem at all. Really enjoyed it. Thanks.
Well, there you have it, folks. Lance Storm, somebody who has got a great mind for the business. I hope he keeps training people because, as you heard, he's already got his hand into the future of professional wrestling.
That's right. He was a great guy to talk to. Once again, appreciate your time, Lance. Hopefully we'll have him on again on the show in 2015, maybe. If not 2016, who knows? But yeah, a great guy to talk to. Jonathan, man, this is the first day of the new year. We're on the move. AWP is on the move, and we're ready to conquer 2015, if you will. I said if you will too many times. I need to keep track.
Yeah, we have an if you will counter going right now.
Wow. But it's 2015, Jonathan. I mean, what's in store for all the fans out there?
Well, as we've mentioned before, we've got a lot of shows coming up. We're going to be at the Hammerlock Awards for Northeast Wrestling. We'll actually be presenting a award to someone from Northeast Wrestling. Following that, we'll be at the WPDH Man Show in Poughkeepsie, New York. That's on Royal Rumble Sunday. We will also be at a lot of FWE and NEW shows this year.
Yeah, you know, we're going to hit up Rhode Island in June, like we mentioned, at FanFest 5. A lot of things happening on the horizon. A lot of things. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to be happening on AWP, guys. So stay tuned. Make sure you subscribe to us. Head on over to iTunes. Look up Another Wrestling Podcast. Hit that subscribe button. Give us a little review. Rate us. Love us, like us, poke us, whatever you want to do. But make sure you keep on listening. We appreciate it. But if you have no idea where any of these links are, go to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. That's our mothership. That's where you're going to find anything and everything going on with AWP this year.
We want to thank you for listening today.
We are an independent podcast.
Every week we create something for you to listen to, and it's absolutely free.
We are a wrestling podcast for wrestling fans because, after all, we are wrestling fans.
If you enjoyed the show today, here are some ways you can help us out.
First off, you can subscribe to our show on iTunes. While you're there, rate us and give us a good review. Why not?
If you're looking for more AWP, then head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com to find out more about upcoming guests and where we will be.
Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and buy an official AWP shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com/AnotherWrestlingPodcast.
We couldn't do the show without you.
So tune in next week for
Another Wrestling Podcast.